inside the paradise. So that is for which the Imam titled the hadith Tariqul Jannah, the path to Al Jannah. Because it was a simple question. Will I, if I do so and so, will I enter Al Jannah? So yes, you will enter Al Jannah. So it means all of what the companion asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you do it, you will actually enter the paradise. So that is the path to Al Jannah. That is the means to attain Al Jannah. So here Al-Imam al-Nawawi said this hadith. He said, An Abi Abdullah, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma. So again, the kunya of this companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, is Abu Abdullah. Jabir ibn Abdullah is Abu Abdullah. So it means that he named his child after his father, who was called Abdullah. So one, from this benefit, is one can name his child after his father. In fact, one can name his child after himself. He is Abdullah, and his son's name is Abdullah. From amongst those who report narrations that Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar mentioned in his book, Aqrib al-Tahzeeb, not less than 21 bear the name Abdullah, and their parent is also Abdullah. They say Abdullah ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abdullah. From amongst those who did that was Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a son whose name was Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a son whose name was Abdullah. He also had Ubaydullah. He had Abdullah, he had Salim, he had Bilal, he had others. Radiallahu anhuma. So a man can name his child by the name of his father, and you will not call that child junior, as it is common. When people name their children after their parents, they usually refer to such children as junior, or they look for another name and append it to the child. They can call him Tunde, because they don't want to call the boy by the name. So if you didn't want to call the boy by the name, why did you give him the name in the first place? Why not give him that Sunday and let it rest like that? Baba come again. So that name itself has a problem in the Sharia, because it is from the belief of reincarnation. It was the dead father that reincarnated. So no serious Muslim, no Muslim what the name should give his child that kind of a name, Tunde kind of thing. That the child came again, the father came again, the father reincarnated. So you, the Muslim, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and you are still believing that somebody reincarnated. If you say you don't believe that, theoretically, your action has said that you believe it. That is by your naming your child by Tunde kind of thing. So, if our children bear the names of our parents, we should not call them by other than the name. The name is Ibrahim. Let the boy bear it as Ibrahim. And if the boy has also been named by your name, it is not also wrong that your child bears your name. So if you are Ishaq and your child is Ishaq, call the boy Ishaq. So it's going to be Ishaq ibn Ishaq. Is not wrong. A long list, one of which was a companion we mentioned, Abdullah ibn Umar. His son bore his name, Abdullah. So he's Abdullah ibn Umar. In fact, you can find Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah. Father, son, grandfather. So it's not wrong in our Sharia. And it is not strange. Our Ummah is known with it. Bearing the names of our, giving our children the names of our fathers, and giving our children our own names. So here, Jabir ibn Abdullah is Abu Abdullah, and that is his kunya. So his father, Abdullah ibn Amr, is also a companion of the Prophet. And the name of his mother is Unaysa. The name of the mother of the companion Jabir ibn Abdullah, Unaysa. So you see, he's a very lucky human being. His father companion, his mother companion, he himself companion. Radiallahu anhuma. So Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari is an eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the son of an eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad. So, and his father, Abdullah ibn Amr, was from amongst those who were very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is an Ansari, as you see, so from Medina. He is an indigenous of Medina. And they are from amongst those, his father was from amongst those who came to make bay'ah with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the valley called Al-Aqaba. You know, they came twice before the Prophet's migration, alayhi salatu wasalam, to Medina. So in the second pledge at Al-Aqaba, his father, Abdullah, came with him, Jabir ibn Abdullah. So, yes, he was young at the time, because they say he was very, very, very young at the time. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was young at the time, but his father came with him. So it became recorded in history that he was there too. So you, where do you take your own child to? Your own child, where do you take him to? Stadium to watch ball? Where do you take your own children to? So these were what people took their children to, and their names became recorded in the history. It will ever be mentioned that he was at Al-Aqaba. For those who came to take an oath of allegiance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they will obey him, they will protect him, they will believe in him, and they will support his message. So let us from here watch where we take our own children to. So that was where his own father took him to. So at the time of the Battle of Badr, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was prevented from attending the battle by his father. The same thing at the Battle of Uhud. There are some of the reports that he was at the Battle of Badr, and that report has been mentioned to be authentic by Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in his book Al-Isaba fi Tamyiz al-Sahaba. But Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi alayhi rahmatullah brought a narration where he himself, the narration is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, mentioned that my father prevented me from attending Badr and Uhud. This report in Sahih Muslim takes precedence over the other, which mentioned that he was at Badr. So Jabir ibn Abdullah was not at Badr based on his own testimony. So because the other report said that he was at Badr, he was fetching water for wounded people and all of these. So Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari did not witness Badr and Prophet. But he witnessed all other battles that were fought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all other very, very important events, he witnessed them, like Bay'atu Ridwan. He was there, Tahta Shajar. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُودِهِمْ وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَصَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. So he was there. He was at Bay'atu Ridwan. That is after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He was there, radiallahu anhu, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to them that day, on the day of Hudaybiyah, there are about 1,400 companions, radiallahu anhum. That day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Antum al-yawm khayru ahli al-ard. Antum al-yawm khayru ahli al-ard. Today, those of you that are here, you are the best human beings on earth. That day, Jabir was there. Ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. He witnessed other very, very important events in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was one of the scholars amongst the companions. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, in fact, he was one of the mukthirun, that is those who reported a lot of narration. It's mentioned that he has over 1,500 ahadith. 1,500 ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Over that, and many of them are in Bukhari and Muslim. Many of his reports, we find it in Bukhari and Muslim. And Allah enabled him to live long. He lived for 95 years. When the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was mentioned to be about 20 or thereabouts. So if the Prophet had died while he was 20 and he lived for 95 years, he had another about 70 years explaining Islam to people. And from what he did most, radiallahu anhu, when he finally went back to settle in Medina, was teaching the masjid of the Prophet. Jabir ibn Abdullah. He was one of those who taught. He would sit behind the masjid when people come for Hajj, he was explaining Islam. There's one hadith that came to mind now. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad mentioned it in his Sharh Hadith Jibreel, that some people had come from Basra, they were from the Khawarij, and they had planned to spread Kharijiyya if they came to Hajj. They passed by Medina and they saw Jabir ibn Abdullah. You know, from the Aqidah of the Khawarij is that they do not believe that Allah will remove some people from the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyam. Allah will remove people from fire of Jahannam. I'm sure we all know this. Some of you will be liberated and they will be referred to as Jahannamiyun. This hadith is also in Sunan Muslim. So, in that hadith, those people who came from Basra and Kufa and all of that, who wanted to spread this aqidah of Kharijiyya, we know what Kharijiyya means then, the Khawarij. They came and they saw him explaining Islam. And he was saying that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that on the day of Qiyamah, some people will be removed from Jahannam, and they will refer to as Jahannamiyun. So one of them came up and said, "You, why are you saying that? The Khawarij, that's their way. They challenge anyone." Of course, the meaning of Kharijiyya is challenge to authority. The meaning of Kharijiyya, Al-Imam Ahmad al-Shahristani, in his book, Al-Milal wal-Nihal, said nobody is referred to as Kharijiyya, except that the fact is that he is challenge to authority. Don't challenge authority. It is fake. And it is from that they have the name Kharijiyya. The one who did it first, Abu Khaisra, he himself challenged the Rasul alayhi salam. "Ya Muhammad Eidin, distribute this thing with justice. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْدِ." Because you are not just. The Prophet was distributing something that Ali brought from Yemen. Alayhi salatu wa radiallahu anhu. He said, "Be fair, because you are not fair." The Prophet said, "If I'm not fair, who will be fair?" And if the Prophet is not fair, who will be fair? So the man challenged Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Did you not read the Quran? That anyone who goes into Jahannam, khalidina fi abada. He was reading Quran to a companion who was there when the Quran was revealed. You came from Iraq. You are reading the Quran to a man who was there when Wahyu was coming down from the heaven. He was the one who was saying, "Kunna nazil wal Quran yanzil." We were making azul and the Quran was being revealed. He's the one you are reading Quran to. So one of the things you see from the attitude of Kharijiyya is that no respect for knowledge and scholars. Those people, they do not respect knowledge and they do not respect scholars. If an alim says no, don't do what they say, no, they just bring one verse of the Quran. The verse that person to whom they are quoting the verse knows better than they do. And that's the word they did to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. They said to Ibn Abbas, "Kul al-hukmu illa lillah." Judgment is for Allah alone. You are quoting Quran, you are quoting a verse to Abdullah ibn Abbas, regarding whom the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allahumma alimhu ta'awila." He is the one you are quoting the verse to. It's lack of respect for him, radiallahu anhu. He knows the Quran better than you. He knows the Quran better than you. So Jabir ibn Abdullah said to him, he also took a verse from that. Did you not also read in the Quran that Allah says, "Wama ta'akum ar-rasulu fakuhu," that whatever the Prophet gives you, take it? He read that people will go into Jahannam and they came fire. But did he not also read "Wama ta'akum ar-rasulu an ya'akuhu bihi," that whatever the Prophet gives to them, they should take it? Says, "Wama ta'akum ar-rasulu fakuhu," come on, take it. He said, "Yes." Say, "Okay, I have heard that the Prophet said," alayhi salam, he started to report the hadith, that some people will be removed from Jahannam in the day of Qiyamah. So he did not start at the verse of the Quran, he added the hadith of the Prophet. Because Allah did not just give us the Quran. He gave us the Quran وَمِثْلَهُ مَعْهُ. And that was where the Prophet came with creation. He came with the Quran and something like the Quran with it. With the Quran. And that was Al-Jawab al-Hakim that Jabir ibn Abdullah gave. He gave him Quran and Hadith. Quran, Hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was from the learned amongst the companions. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, alayhi rahmatullah, while he was talking about him, he says, Kana mufti Madina fi asri. In his time was the mufti of Madina. Madina, where the Prophet lived, at, was the mufti. You don't know something else, ask Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Radiallahu anhu. Very learned. And Allah gave him life. So people like them, generally speaking, we are better than those who died before them. Because the hard time, 75 years, he was spreading knowledge. How many of those who had died before him had the opportunity to spread the kind of knowledge that he spread? Such that since then till today, people have been acting upon that knowledge that he had spread. And all the rewards have been coming to him. So this is why the ulama have said, rahimahumullah, that there is no time that someone dies as a martyr, except that he lived at that time. Someone lived at that time, he died on his bed, and is better than that martyr. Do we understand? There is no time in the history of Islam that someone died as a martyr, and that in that same time, someone died on his bed, and is better than that martyr. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he died on his bed and he's better than Omar. The Rasul himself, where did he die? So why do you now say, okay, you want to die as a martyr, then you kill innocent people again? Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari died on his bed, and aside the battle of Uhud and Badr, he witnessed all the rest of the battles. And for 70 years he was explaining Islam. 70 years. This is one of what by which Allah blesses the sincere scholars of Islam. Long life. Allah blesses them with long life. So he lived for about a century, 95. رضي الله عنه. You can go on and on and on and on about Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. رضي الله عنهما. He was a very learned from amongst the Prophet's companions. And his father died as a martyr in the Battle of Uhud. His father, Abdullah ibn Amr, died in the Battle of Uhud as a martyr. It was reported that there was once that Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan wanted to make a fountain across that area in Uhud. And when the excavation were made, the body of his father Amr ibn Abdullah became exposed. So Jabir ibn Abdullah went there and saw his father as if he just died yesterday. And at that time he had left. He had come to Basra, he had come to Misra and returned to Medina before that incident took place. And he saw his father as if he was just buried yesterday. The father of Jabir ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Amr al-Ansari. Radiallahu anhu. So, and when his father died, we know the story, he left about 9 children, females. He said that was the reason why the father did not allow him, radiallahu anhuma, to go for the battle of Uhud. In case I may die, you stay so that you live and take care of all these girls, his sister. And he was the one that wanted to marry. Now the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that why not marry a virgin girl? Tudahikuha wa tudahikuka. She will make you smile, she will make you have pleasure, and you make her have pleasure too. And he went and then married a woman who was a Sayyid, who was already married. And when Prophet asked him, radiallahu anhu, why have you married a woman? He said, because I have sisters, so she will help me to take care of them. Imagine a young girl may not be able to take care of this. If I had married someone who was married and experienced about child upbringing, to help me take care of her. Jabir ibn Abdullah. So many things about him. Al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. And like he said, father companion, Abdullah ibn Amr, mother companion, Unais, radiallahu anha, and son too, companion. And all the nine girls too, they were there, those who were grown up amongst them. It was something very nice. He's the one who had, who witnessed this incident. And he says, أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. A man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some of the people will say that we do not need to know who this man is. You may not need to know him from the aspects of his fuqaha. You may not need to know. Because the interest of the faqih is to draw rulings from ahadith. And this man, knowing the person of the man, may not be needed to draw the ruling. So a faqih, or someone who is given to fiqh, we will say we don't need to know it. As you read in some of the books, we don't need to know who the man is. But the scholars of hadith will say we need to know who is he. For so many reasons. One is about to stop that. We use it to affirm that that person is a companion. Because we may not find any other place to be sure that that person is a companion. So if one day he is narrating to a people that someone said that the Prophet said, alayhi salam, and the person who reported, perhaps he did not say I'm a companion. But thirdly, who is known, who reported the hadith from him says, a man said to me, he didn't say the man is a companion in one report. In another report, he now mentioned the man's name. This kind of a hadith will make us understand that the hadith is mutasil sahih. That man is a companion. How do we know? Is that companion who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that day to ask a question? There are similar other issues. There was a case of a woman. The hadith is regarding the issues of menstruation. A woman is being contended, if I remember. Let me not say. The woman is being contended to be a companion. There's a report somewhere that was brought where she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tawaf and I was near the Zamzam. Another report completely. She was describing the Prophet's Hajj. And she was saying the Prophet was making tawaf and I was near the Zamzam. It is with this second report that the first report was ascertained to be authentic. That else we would have said we don't know the shakhsiyah of the person, majhul ahmad. We don't know. Is it profane? We don't know. But with this second report, it makes us understand that the first report is authentic. That it is coming from someone who saw the Prophet. Because the fact that she saw the Prophet, even if the Prophet did not see her, she's a companion. So for the scholars of hadith, they will ask, who is that man? Similar things occur in so many places. Even when in some situations, the companions, they would not mention someone's name when something like this happens. Particularly if it's not something that's very positive. They will just conceal his name. Like the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Jundub ibn Junadah. The one regarding whom the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya. The one who said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, that, ya ibn ummi aswad, O son of the black woman. The Prophet heard it. You have some jahiliya in you. The person who said this was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. The companions, when they reported it, they will say a man said to the Prophet, said to Bilal. But when he reported it, he said, I said to Bilal. So it was from the second report that was known, okay, the one who said to Bilal that is Ibn Ummi Aswad was who? Abu Dharr, from his own report. They used to do so to conceal themselves if the report is not very positive. Even when after that time, if you read the hadith further, you see, Allah used it to further raise Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Because he went to Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu, and he sat before him. He went down. He put his feet on the ground, in the dust, below the feet, near the feet of Bilal, and said to Bilal, "Match my mouth. That mouth that said that, match it. Match it in the dust." He said that to Bilal, "Match this mouth. The mouth that said Ibn Ummi Asa. Match the mouth." Is this honor or not? Because it showed remorse for what he did. We are just saying that sometimes the companions will not mention their name to conceal the personality of the person that's involved. But sometimes they will mention the names so that it is known. But they'll mention it one or twice, they'll stop mentioning it. So if it's those who heard it once or twice, who now carries it. So for the scholars of hadith, it is important to them. For a fakih, it may not be important. But for the scholars of hadith, to them, it is important. In another riwayah of this hadith, this man, his name is Nu'man ibn Qawqal. Nu'man ibn Qawqal. That same riwayah occurs in Sahih. That Nu'man ibn Qawqal came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked this question. Okay, that man where Jabir ibn Abdullah said, "Rajulun," is Nu'man ibn Qawqal. Radiallahu anhu. So it says, "Anna Rajulan." So this Rajul is who? Nu'man ibn Qawqal. Sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Faqala and said, أرأيت إذا صليت الصلوات المكتوبات أرأيت what do you deem fit for me? What's your opinion for me? Asking for his view about something. What did he ask about? إذا صليت الصلوات المكتوبات, if I perform the obligated prayers. Maktubat. You know, we said, "Inna Allah kataba ale, Inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay." Go. He said, "Kataba" is used to indicate obligation. Like he said, "Kutiba alaykum al-siyam," yani "Furidu alaykum al-siyam." So we say, "As-salawatul maktubat, as-salawatul mafruba." The obligatory salah. And he started it with an alif wal-lam. So all of them. Those salah that you know that they are the obligatory ones, those salah that you know. Here, the resilience is an important point here. Two things. One, the salah he's talking about is a salah he's talking to the Prophet Muhammad. So he's not talking about the salah that anybody performs as he likes. He's talking about the salah regarding which the Prophet said, "Salu." It is that type of salah that he's talking about. Do you understand? He's talking about the kind of salah that is known to the Prophet Muhammad. And that is the salah that he has ordered us to perform. Anyone who performs a salah in a manner other than that way, that is not the salah that is being referred to in this hadith. Do you understand? Very, very silent. There's a point here. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, "Akimu salah," in many places in the Quran. Which salah is he talking about? The salah as performed by the Prophet Muhammad. So when this man is asking, "Ara'aytu, idha sallaytu, as-salawatil maktubat," what do you deem appropriate? If I perform or establish the obligatory prayer. Which obligatory prayer is the that the Prophet is talking about? It is that obligatory prayer that the Prophet knows that he performed and ordered the people to perform. It's not the kind of prayer that Al-Musi' Salatahu performed, the one who performed his prayer badly. And he came and Prophet told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli." This is not the prayer he's talking about. So two kinds of salah. Salah that is in line with the sunnah. And salah that is not in line with the sunnah. The one about which Nu'man ibn Qamqal was asking about is what salah? The salah in line with the sunnah. Because that is the salah. Any other one is salah, not the salah that is ordered. And that is the one regarding his Ali Maktuba. Because that one that person is performing by himself in the way he likes is not Maktuba. Allah did not obligate us to perform salah like that. So the one that he's talking about is the salah that the Prophet taught alayhi salatu salam, regarding which he says, alayhi salatu salam, as reported by the companion Malik ibn Khuwairis in Al-Bukhari, sallu kama ra'aytum Allah. So let anybody just perform salah as he likes. So they say, if I pray and pray Ramadan, pray, go to Ramadan, it's okay. Don't pray as you like. Pray as the Prophet prayed. Alayhi salatu. When I was reading this hadith today, something came to my mind. That perhaps, inshallah, next week, we'll look at how did the Prophet used to pray. Because we've been talking about Salah. When we read Usul Sunnah, we read Hukmu Tariq Salah, the ruling regarding the one who abandoned Salah. When we read the hadith of Jibreel, the second hadith in Arba'un, and the fourth hadith in other books of hadith, some of the scholars of hadith have made, like the Sharh al-Sunnah al-Imam al-Bukhari and other books. And the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar about Bunya al-Islam ala khamsin. We always talk about Salah. Which Salah is it? Maybe inshallah if Allah gives us the opportunity. Next week, we'll just take the time to describe the Prophet's Salah. Inshallah. So it is this Salah that he is asking about. So if you perform this Salah, وَصُمْتُ Ramadan, and I fast two things. You can say I fast in the month of Ramadan, or I fast the fasting of Ramadan. Both correct. I'm fasting the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan could be referring to the month's name, and Ramadan could be referring to the fasting. So whether it is referring to the name of the month, and you are fasting in that month, or it is referring to the name of the fasting, the both of them, they are correct as far as this hadith. So it says, "Wasum to Ramadan," and I'm fast, and I fast Ramadan. I establish the salah, and I observe the fast. I didn't stop there. It says, "Wa ahlaltu halal," and I make the halal to be halal. How does one make halal to be haram? Halal. Halal, I make halal to be halal. Halal to halal. I make halal to be halal. How do we make halal to be halal? Ulama say two ways. The first one, al-i'tiqadu annahu halal. Believe that it is halal. The second one, al-amalu bihi. Acting upon it. So when you believe that halal is halal, so many of the people you see on the street, some of them have the opportunity to wear nice clothes, wear nice caps, wear nice shoes, ride nice rides. They say, no, they don't want, because they are doing zuhud. La, you have not made halalul halal. To say halalul halal, making halal to be halal is, you believe that this thing is halal. Allah says, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. So when someone says, it's halal, but me, I don't want to eat. I say, وَكُلُوا إِتْ Allah says, eat it. From what Allah had enriched you with, halalan, tayyiba, make sure it is halal. One is halal, eat halal. And nice things. Eat nice things. Yes, the companions will eat dabinu and they will eat meat and they will eat that. But it didn't mean that they ate dabinu every day. They drank milk, pure milk, from cattle and other animals that they had. They ate other good food that they knew. So in halal and tayyiba, in our place here, to eat halal and tayyiba. So don't say, no, you know, Allah say, wakulu, eat, order, if an order. Now, people like Sheikh Ufemi, alayhi rahmatullah, believe that those who don't take to those halal, and they have the ability to take to it, they are not obeying these instructions. You have opportunity to wear good clothes, you are wearing dirty clothes. They are doing good. Who send you that good? It says, لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم. The nice things that Allah had made permissible for you, لا تحرموا على أنفسكم. Do not make them prohibited. Don't prohibit them for yourself. You say, man, he carries millions in his house and he's wearing one brown dirty clothes all around. You ask yourself, yeah, inshallah, it's good. La. Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi, alayhi rahmatullah, one of the scholars of hadith in his time, was described with nice clothes. He would wear nice clothes. So Imam Khatib is smart. And Imam Malik, alayhi rahmatullah, is described with dressing properly. It was said at some point he had about 100 turbans, shoes, 100 shoes. Imam Malik. Nice turbans, nice soul, siyah. When you enter the majlis of Imam Ali, you are his perfume, you are perfuming. He is the one by smelling the perfume. He is the one you are feeling perfume from, Imam Ali. So you are doing good. They know Islam and Zood more than you. So, وَكُلُّ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا كَيِّبًا. لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. If you have opportunity to live in a nice house, live nice house. Nice car, live it. Nice dress, wear it. Nice food, eat it. So you have ability to live nicely, you are living like someone that Allah has not given anything. As if Allah has not honored him. So all the honor that Allah has given to him is throwing it away. He wants to live to be seen like a poor man. In fact, the people who will give zakat or zakat to the city will be looking for him. But it's not due for it. Do you think that is right amongst the believers like that? Amongst the people? So, ahalal tul halal that the companion asked the Prophet about alayhi salatu wasalam is to believe that something is halal and to act upon the things that are halal. He says, وَحَرَّمْ تُلْ حَرَامْ. And I consider those things that are also prohibited as what? Prohibited. How? Two ways to. Number one, believe that they are prohibited. Number two, abstain from them. So that is haram to haram. That is his considering haram to be what? Haram. How? Believe that this thing is haram. If someone has opportunity to make zina, someone wants to make zina. So, but he leaves it. This girl is not fine. Yes, he will not be punished for committing zina. But he will not leave, he will not get the reward of leaving zina for the sake of Allah. Do you understand? He just left it. Or maybe he told the girl, look, let's do this. At least I start thinking, this girl can have HIV. Yes, he will not be punished for committing zina. At the same time, he will not get the reward of leaving zina. But the one who wants to make zina, but remembers that Allah has prohibited zina and zina is haram, and by that leaves zina, he will have two things. He will get the reward of leaving zina for the sake of Allah. And he will not be punished to have, of course, he did not commit the zina. That's why from the Qisra, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, about the three from Banu Israel who got under the rock. One of them said, I told her that I will make zina, and she came. And he got into the room, everywhere was dark. He got ready, she got ready. But she said, oh, but remember Allah. For the sake of Allah, he left it. He will get the reward of leaving it for the sake of Allah. And he will not be punished for making zina, because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the private organs either confirm or deny. So in his case, his private organs denied. So two rewards also, leaving zina, the reward for leaving zina, and the reward for not having committed zina in the first place. So haram to haram is to believe that haram is haram, believing that it is haram, and not doing it because Allah has prohibited it. Please, let's have this in mind. Many times people leave something, they are not leaving it because they believe that Allah says we should leave it. Because this consciousness, besides the fact that it adds to our reward, it makes us get close to Allah. Of course, because it adds to the reward, it makes us come close to Allah. It makes us get more conscious about what we are doing. It brings life into what we do. So I guess if you know, Allah does not want it. For two reasons. He leaves it, asking for the mercy of Allah. So it's very important. Haram to haram. Not just leaving haram. Believing that haram is haram, and then leaving haram. He says, radiallahu anhu, and Huma, reporting about that companion, he says, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. I pray. I do Ramadan fasting. I make halal halal. I make haram haram. He says, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And I do not add anything to that. Look at this companion. So don't ask me whether I pray witr. Don't ask me whether I pray zakat al-fajr. Don't ask me whether I made rawatib. Don't ask me ashura or taswa. Don't ask me that one. Fasting on Saturday, me, no problem with me. Because I will not fast even on Saturday except it is obligatory. If it is in Ramadan now, I will fast on Saturday. That is by implication anyway. But to say fasting, non-obligatory fasting on Saturday, me, I'm not there. Lam azid ala zalika shay'an. I don't add anything to it. Ulama say, why did he not add zakah? And why did he not add hajj? He said, perhaps zakah, the Prophet saw him, alayhi salatu wasalam, as somebody who is poor, who can't pay zakah. So he did not mention zakah. They say, yes, that is circumstantial answer. But the general answer is that it is from those things Allah has obligated. And he has also prohibited not paying zakah. It is haram not to pay zakah. So from his making haram to be haram is that he will not refuse to pay zakah. That is, he will pay zakah. Do you understand? He said the same thing applies to hajj and all other instructions of the Sharia. And that's why Imam Al-Haythami, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, there is another way of looking at this. He's saying, أَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالُ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامُ. But that halal could be مَا لَيْسَ بِحَرَامُ. And مَا لَيْسَ بِحَرَامُ in the Sharia are three things. The wajibat, the mustahabbat, and those things that are themselves halal, or something that has a ruling of jais in the Sharia. So he's saying, أَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالُ could mean those things that are obligatory upon me, I do them. Those things that are masnuna, I do them. Those things that are also jawa'is, from ja'is, I also do them. Do you understand? You see, that's another way of looking at that hadith. Ahlaltul halal could mean all the things that are obligatory, I do it. All those things that are not like that. And the same thing applies for haram. Haram could mean things that are makruh, and those things that are what? Actually haram, because makruh is from the far, from the furu' of the haramat. You see, that is another way of looking at it. In a nutshell, it encapsulates all the rulings of the Sharia. Imma directly, like salah and fasting that's mentioned, or indirectly in terms of halal and haram. They will always fall in between. directly or indirectly. So he said, Ali Rahmatullah, besides that, Ahalla kulla halalin, wa harrama kulla haram, if this man considers every halal to be halal and makes them halal, and then every haram to be haram, and those as explained, he says, فَقُدْ أَتَى بِجَمِيءِ وَظَائِفِ الشَّرْعِ فَقُدْ أَتَى بِجَمِيءِ وَظَائِفِ الشَّرْعِ. He has carried out all the requirements of the Sharia. He has acted upon it. So you see, this hadith is also general, like all the hadith we have been reading. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ, fear Allah wherever you are. See, that's general. So this is also a general hadith that has to do with every aspect of our life as Muslims. But he said he didn't do any mustahabbah. So back to the first meaning. Only leave haram, do halal, and then perform salah and I fast. So we say this hadith is also evidence that the Muslims are of different levels. So if he says he will not do more than that, he says, Walam Azid Allah, Zalik Hashaytan. I'm not adding anything to that. Lakin Abu Bakr al Siddiq added to it. They cannot be the same. Do we understand? Umar added, he can't be the same with the one, Nu'man ibn Qawqal, who will not act. And that's why the Muslims are of different levels. We have Ashabul Yameen. And then we have Al-Muqarrabun. We have Muqarrabun, those who are nearest to Allah. And then we have Ashabul Yameen. Generally, Ashabul Yameen, people of the right, they will enter Al-Jannah. So he says, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. Ashabul Yameen, سَلَامٌ لَهُمْ. They are saved from the punishment of the fire. By the fact that they are from Ashabul Yameen, he says, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. No problem. No fire for them. Lakin those muqarrabun, what did he say about them? Fi jannat na'im. They will be in al-jannah, the place of pleasure. Yes, those people too will be there. He says, farawhun wa rayhanun wa jannat na'im. They will be in farawhun, rest. They will find rest, tranquility. Wa rayhan, and entertainment. And the jannah, the place of enjoyment. That is as-sabiqun al-muqarrabun. These are the people like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar radiallahu anhu, and those who add more. Do you understand? Those who add more. You want to be from as-sabiqun al-muqarrabun, add more. You want to remain in Ashabul Yameen, stay as this companion said. Also, do you have Jannah? Do you not go to Jahannam? Yes. But Al-Jannah is in Tabaqat. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that from one level to the other, people will look at themselves the way we look at the stars. Those who are in one level will be looking at those in the next level like the way we are looking at stars. So you will not smell what they are smelling. But they enjoy everybody on its own. So this hadith is also evidence that iman is of levels. People are of levels. Because definitely if he says, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا غَيْرُهُ زَادَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَشْيَاءً. He said, وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And he said, أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Nah. لَكِنْ غَيْرُهُ زَادَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَشْيَاءً. Like Jabir we mentioned now, رضي الله. زَادَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَشْيَاءً. And this is not to mean that this companion also did not add. Because by the time he's doing the halal and leaving haram and performing salah, making sawm, many other things will be easy for him in Islam. That is the way Islam is. He will find making nawafil easy. Like his salah, now he knows that this is salah. I won't joke with the salah. Most times, it is not likely that they will start the salah when he's not there. So if he enters the masjid, he'll perform tahiyyat to the masjid. Has he added or not? Because he wants to fulfill that first one. If he enters the masjid, he'll perform tahiyyat. If he sits down in the masjid waiting for the salah, that is mafruda, is he adding or not? He's trekking from his house to the mosque, is he adding or not? He's going back, is he adding or not? He's saying before he enters the masjid, the zikr for entering the masjid. Is he adding or not? He's going out of the masjid. Is he adding or not? He will not. Because he wants to uphold those things that are what? Obligatory. That's how Islam is. Easy. So in the end, he's targeting Ashabul Yameen. Last card. I won't miss this Ashabul Yameen. But in the end, he finds himself in Sadiqun al-Muqarrabun. Like Allah says. He says again, ثُمَّ أَعْرَفْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا says, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَادِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ الإمام ابن تيمية عليه رحمة in his book Al-Furqan بين أولياء الرحمن وأولياء الشيطان he says this verse is regarding the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم he says ثُمَّ أَعْرَفْنَا الْكِتَابِ he says the kitab here is Quran الذين استفينا من عبادنا أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم the أمة of Muhammad they are those who are chosen from the servants of Allah we thank Allah for that message he says to mean whom from this أمة of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم ظالم لنفسه سنا هو لا يحرم الحرام he says ظالم لنفسه he repents he says he repents So he wrongs his own soul. فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدِ From the affair, straight forth. So Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah said, these are those who, they make halal halal, they make haram haram. They don't do zina, they don't do things that are haram. But they are not involved in much in our field. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِكُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ Look at what he said. They are in the forefront in terms of good deeds. It's not because they want to do so alone. They want to do so and Allah gave them the permission. So they said, Bi-Iznillah. So, this question, anyone who fulfills me, I won't do more than this. Just know that it is Muqtasib. Yeah, targeting. But if you target Muqtasib and just stay there alone, you may find yourself in Zolim and in a few, especially in the kind of circumstance we live in now. Sincerely speaking, if you just target Muqtasid and stay there, even when that is not easy, Muqtasid, he will leave everything halal, haram. And it is halal that he will do. Any haram, you will not see him there. So, he sleeps with women in the vehicle. His own is not there. He is an Asaba man. When we carry one woman going to Magaranta, you will not see him there. Because it's not permissible. If not, so let's target to be from amongst those that Allah regarded as what? Sabiqun bil khairat. Those who are in the forefront in terms of good deeds by Allah's permission. This is what we should target. So this hadith is regarding muqtasidun, those who want to remain me and I don't want, no problem. Let me just stay here. Many people say this, but they are already zolimun li nafsi. Many people say, me, I just do halal, I live haram. But it's all his life gone is haram. I remember someone was telling me this, and he's a bank staff, he's a manager in a bank. Someone was telling me this, see me, anything that Allah says haram, I will leave it. Anything Allah says haram. He's a bank manager. I said, if I saw this man, I said, you are already inside the soup, I will finish you. The soup of haram, are you the cooker? People come and eat it. It's not that you're not eating the haram. It's the one cooking. No, it's the soup itself. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, La'ana Allahu mukil al-riba. La'ana Allahu akil al-riba wa mukilahu. The curse of Allah be upon Akil al-riba, the one who consumes riba, Allah's wrath be upon him. Wa mu'kilahu, the one who gives it to people, take. Wa katibahu, the one who is writing it. Wa shahidahu, the one who is witness to it. For people. There's nobody working in the bank except that he falls into any of these four. Akil al-riba. They are the Hebrews. He says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ رِبَا. Are we seeing it now? وَيُرِبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Now people are begging, please give them small money. Give them some money. Allah destroy the wealth. بِتِئِنْ عَشِيَةً وَدْحَهَا. That woman is in the news. They collected from her 500 billion. Where did she get that work she did? Allah's wrath is upon her till a riba. If she changes the house, Allah will forgive her. Let me quickly say something here. I didn't say, La'an Allahu upon her. I said, Ha till a riba. Do you understand? Because you do not say la'ana to a person that's living, whether a Muslim or a kafir. But you can say la'ana to an attribute of a group of people. Like you say, Allah's curse be upon the kuffar. Yes. But you don't say George Bush, Allah's curse be on you. You don't say that. Many people used to say it. It's wrong. Because you don't know what George Bush will become tomorrow. Yes. George Bush can become tomorrow from the scholars of hadith. فَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَلْهِ. He will just change. And by the time you know it, he's Imam. It's not late. Allah is فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيجِ. Allah, he does what he likes. عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه, he said one day, and the day he was to die, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. He said, before he came into Islam, we were talking about riba, we'll come back to it. He said the day before he accepted Islam, he hated the Prophet Muhammad. Then he was asked, who do you hate most, Muhammad? And he always wished he killed the Prophet. All the people, how would you like to kill this man and just wait? He said, that time, if anybody said I will enter fire, I will say, yes, I will enter fire. If I die like this, a fire. He said, I will agree. He said, but when I accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam became the most beloved to me, Mahalu Shahid. But when this is where we want to, when he accepted Islam, he loved the Prophet more than everything. To the extent that he said, he cannot look at the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi. If anyone asks me now, describe Muhammad, I can't describe because of the respect for him, so I couldn't look at his face. Look at how Allah changed the heart. Muqallib al-qulub. So you don't say la'ana to a kafir. You hear it now, they say because they support that Israel should bomb Palestine. So, it's wrong, it's not from Sunnah. So say, La'an Allahu akila riba. Allah curses upon the one who eats riba, who consumes riba. Wa mukilahu, and the one who gives someone take riba, eat it. Wa shahidahu, aw katibahu awala, the one who writes it. So those ones are the counter. You are the one collecting it. Katiba riba. La'anatullah alayk. Katiba riba. The one who writes freedom and shahidah, the witness to it. Say, bring two witness. They call it a name now. Guarantor. You know it already. So they bring guarantor. La'anatullah alal guarantor. So if you say no me, I'll just make halal, halal. I'll just make haram, haram. Your present state, what it costs. So like I said, oh, I'm telling you, inshallah, my own halal is halal, haram is haram. It's okay. It's bank manager. So what we should suggest, Ikhwan, is to be from Sabiquna bil Khairat. Don't let any good deed miss you. This was what the companions were upon. Abu Dhabah. He said, if you place a knife on my neck, and I remember one sunnah that I have not practiced, before you move the knife, I will put practice that sunnah. Do you understand? He placed a sword on my neck. He wants to kill me. And I just remember that there's one thing now. Before you move it, the knife, I would have practiced that sooner. He's talking about the speed at which he will quickly do the sooner. So let's not allow any good deed to miss us. And the way we do that is to know the adab, the etiquette of doing everything in Islam. If you know the etiquette of doing everything in Islam, all your life will be for Allah. People of Harakiya, they used to say, Salati wa Nusuki. He thinks that Mahaya wa Mamati is to go and blow bomb, blow aeroplane. Do you understand what I'm saying? People used to think that Inna Salati wa Nusuki wa Mahaya wa Mamati is to go and blow aeroplane. No. All your life, make it be upon Sunnah. This that we want to mention happened to two of the scholars of Islam. But one of them is the one that I'll mention. Al-Imam Abu Zura'at al-Razi. Ubaydullah ibn Abdul Karim. When he wanted to die, people were with him. So they were talking to him. When they saw that the death was coming, he was not reciting the Kalima, he started to recite the Asanid, the chains of narration regarding that hadith. Man qala, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illa. So they deliberately were making mistakes in the isnad of the hadith. So when they read it, they will make a mistake. He was listening, he was shaking his head. You are wrong. On the deathbed, this is one mamati. On the deathbed. In fact, it is both mahya or mamati. Because that is upon what he will die. Lillahi Rabbil Alamin. They are due for Allah. It's not due to anybody. So while they recited it, they made errors. He stopped them. He now bring the isnad. Hadathana fulan. He started to read. Qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illa Allah. He has not said dakhal al jannah. He died. So did he say la ilaha illa Allah or not? Imam, famata ala zalik. This is mamati. So you carry bomb and go and say for your father. Papa, I don't destroy you today. From today, you are no more my father. You hear me? Okay, we'll see tomorrow. The next thing your father is saying that he wants to bomb the place. Even if that father, like we said, is the kind of father that he has. Because from the things that would have frustrated that boy, is the fact that his father is working in the bank. In fact, he is not working in the bank, so they are the creator of a bank. They are the baba. I don't want to say baba again because there is no deal in the bank. They are the forerunners of the bank. The forerunners. They are the ones in any bank. They are there. So they became chairman. 10 years. Those people who will deceive this boy would have used these things to deceive him. See your father? They go and bring verses of Quran. Because like we said, Quran, isn't it? Allah says, war with people who are doing riba. See your father is. So it will not take him anything, but like, ah, I don't disown you. Because Allah will fight war with you. But he says, no. Because the father can change. Even few days to the day he die can change. So Allah, I repent. Can't see all the riba that I've been eating, I repent today. Please forgive me. He goes to Hajj to make Umrah to Makkah. He makes Umrah. As he finishes his tawaf, make two rakah of nothing behind Maqam Ibrahim. He says, Assalamu alaikum salam. He just lie down there and sleep and die. It can't happen. It can't happen. So why is he doing that to his father? Safari destroy you. So, but because people do not understand these things as from the Sunnah, easily they are swayed away. One guy just started quoting verse for them. Or the one who dragged people to go and fight government and carry guns and start shooting guns against government. Is it not also some incorrectness in the manner of thought? So they will tell you, Aman la yahkum bima bima anzalallah. How like him kafir? How like him fasik? He said, Allahu Akbar. Brothers, Islam is not like that. It is something that we need to understand, we need to learn, we need to understand and act upon. Why he was saying, وَكُلُوا He says, لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ The verse we read is from Ma'idah. مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا Don't exceed boundaries. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُؤْتَدِينَ Allah does not like those who exceed boundaries. So don't think that you want to serve Allah and you are exceeding boundaries. Allah will not take it from you. And he said again, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, ad-deen yusuf. This deen is easy. He says, wa la yushadu ahadun deena illa galabahu. Nobody takes the deen like that except that it overpowers him. He will not be able to continue. See. يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا Make things easy. Someone will see Hebrew today and say, hey, God don't catch you. This woman. Because you imagine the kind of depression she'll be facing now. 500 billion and 23 houses. About 6 or 7 of those houses from New York City. Each of them worth $600. $600,000 each of them. Am I correct? I read it once. I did not go out of my mind. Because I'm caught, I wonder, subhanAllah, the blood of people. At that, what this woman requires now is to be told that, Nabbi ibadi anni an al-ghafuru rahim. Islam, number one. You see how those are problems? Don't accept Islam. First, when you accept Allah will forgive you. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتٍ حَسَنَةً You see all those your riba, he will convert it to good money. And he will now enrich you good money. Those billions will come back to you. So, you see another thing, you, God don't cash it. Allah cash it. God don't say, يَا حَكُ اللَّهُ رِبَا My riba is sadaqa. La. It has to not benefit her. So, أدين يُسر He says, يَسِّرُ Make it easy for her. Become a Muslim. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ Don't make things difficult for the people. وَبَشِّرُ Give them good bad tidings now. Madam, if you accept Islam, this is what Allah will do to you. This is what Allah will do to you. This is what Allah will do to you. I don't even know whether those Muslims who have opportunities to people like that ever have the time to discuss Islam. Those who will have opportunity now. If they have opportunity, let her know that Allah will forgive her. No matter the thing, once she comes into Islam, it's over. So, this companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma, said to us that the Prophet said that a man, أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال أرأيت إذا صليت صلوات المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أدخل الجنة قال نعم the statement of the prophet in all of this is what نعم all of that are the statement of other than the Rasul even statement here is نعم so we pray Allah to make us understand this hadith better than it has been said رواه مسلم This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih Kitab al-Iman. If there are one or two questions that we'll give answers to, inshallah, we'll try to give answers.
I think the same
Okay. No. We are saying people should do zuhud as it should be done. Zuhud is to leave what you don't need. As long as you need it, to leave it is not from zuhud. Except when you don't need it. If you need it, leaving it is not from zuhud. For example, you are hungry. There is food to eat saying I want it. Inshallah. What are you doing? I'm doing zuhud like that. Inna Allah, bikum rahima. Allah is merciful to you. No matter who you ask him after, why is he punishing himself? Some Sufis do that. And they have learned that from Gautama Buddha. Because that was what he did. He was eating a number of seeds of rice. Later he changed it to 7, 8. Later he changed it to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. One seed of rice. Later he stopped eating anything. He became so lean. That was when he said he received his Bhagavad-gita, what is it called? From severe hunger. How will you not receive something when you're hungry? One hungry man said, one angel came to him and gave him something. Why will you not receive something? So Zuhud is not that. Zuhud is not, it's not to leave out what we need, thinking that we are getting close to Allah by leaving those things in. For example, sleep. Some people say, we will not sleep. The Prophet said, I sleep. And some people, I don't sleep. And for somebody not to sleep, it's not zuhud. Chicken. Fowl. People say, oh, if you are zuhud, you know you chicken. One companion ate the chicken. Someone came thinking as that person was thinking, ah, you companion, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. You are eating chicken. The Jaja. Abu Ishaq. He was eating chicken. He said, eh? Companion of the Prophet, you are eating chicken? He said, I see Prophet eating chicken. I'm eating chicken. God, I saw Prophet eating chicken. You know what that means? That if it is zuhud not to eat chicken, the Prophet would not have eaten chicken. So I'm not eating chicken, God is good. The ride of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the best rides ever. The day that ride, a Jewish ride, a Jewish camel, surpassed Kiswa in a race, the companions were crying. What kind of horse, camel do you think it will be? Do you understand what I'm saying? The Prophet companion, the Prophet camel, Kiswa. And it's not only Kiswa that he had, though. He had others. So if you see one man and had 5 cars, now he say, oh, they don't fear Allah. Malan Jisur Allah. Prophet had more than one ride. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiallahu anhum, this companion, radiallahu anhum, sold a camel to the Prophet. Salah. On credit. So yeah, one man buy one car, he didn't just say, oh, they are buying car, they didn't have money. That time the Prophet had Kiswa, he still bought the one from Jabir on credit. So when a Kiswa, because of his beauty and its speed and its intelligence, when you compare it to other camels, the day one camel of one of the Jews was surpassed Kiswa, the companions were crying like this. Crying. How such camel was surpassed? So imagine that the Malam, one Imam Al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, like the one very close to us here now, has one jeep. His kind is not known in Kaduna. They say, oh, that's why this is Allah. Do you understand? So where is Zuhud here? The companions were crying. You know what he said? Alayhi salatu wasalam. This will make us understand who he was. He was not controlled by what he had. He controlled what he had. He says, مَا رَبَى اللَّهُ شَيْئًا مِنْ دُنْيَاكُمْ إِلَّا وَضَعُهُ. Allah never raises anything in this your world except that he brings it down. So he had raised Kiswa to be from the best of animals. So what was remaining? If we start buying jeep, GMC jeep, GMC jeep, it will still bring, Allah will still bring it. And the people doing jeep will still do another jeep, better than that jeep. You bring it down, you buy that one again. Do you understand? There are so many things like that. The clothes you would wear, they say they bring them from Yemen, imported. Imported. The Prophet's clothes, imported. Not Kano, imported. So we move you. He says, Inna Allah Jamilun Yuhibbul Jamal. Inna Allah Tayyibun La Yaqbalu Illa Tayyiba. So that is why we are one dirty clothes, that's smelling. He says, Amala, my name is Bazoo, never. La. Abada. Oh, you are hungry, they say, Allah, stand up, and I say, Kabari, Zuhudni, Allah, Mr. Azibun Nafs, it's haram. haram. He has the opportunity to eat. Say no, it's good. Allah didn't send it. Ma anzal Allah bi amrin sultan. This is similar to what the Jews and the Christians did. And we are not able to uphold it. What did he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَرَبَانِيَّةً يَبِتَعُهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. He says, وَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. You are not able to say. But you see women, nice women, you have the opportunity to marry, you didn't marry. Why didn't marry? Zuhud Allah. No wife? Mala no wife? Mala no matter? La. La. Marry. Marry. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you have the opportunity. Alaykum salam. All those things, they are not from Zuhud. The people who should wear the best clothes are those who are malans and the students learning Islam. That they are, the best clothes are for them because of what they are doing, the importance of what they are doing. If you ask any bank staff, why is this person so corporate to a bank? His bank. What will he say? He says, because I come in contact with people. What about the one who, when he's reading Quran or the Hadith, the angels come and sit where he's sitting? How is he? When Jibril was coming, what did he do? Tell alayna rajul, shadidu kayadu siya. شديد السواد الشعر في كل شيء لا يراه في أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. أبو هريرة in his rewire, he was sensing smell in the Sunnah, in Sunnah al-Tirmidhi. Jibril was smelling like anything nice. So he said, somebody from Majra is dirty all around. No, it is not Islam. It's not Islam. Or somebody says, Malam, all around. Dirty, useless? No, that's not Islam. What did he tell us about Salatul Jummah? Guys, we get two clothes. Nice. Aside the clothes we wear every day for Salatul Jummah, use it. Even if you don't have perfume, go and use the perfume of your wife if she has. Is this the same prophet who will be dirty smelling when he comes to the mosque? So where is the Sunnah? That's not Sunnah. The Sunnah is opposite of that. Wear the best clothes, Ikhwan. Once you have the opportunity, halalan, tayyiban. Other than that, it's not Islam, and Islam does not know it. Not only clothes, ride, house, everything that you need. That's right. 2 days ago, someone was telling me that in this community, any house, when a girl is dirty and stubborn, a girl is dirty and stubborn, they say, wana, na malamne. And when a girl is neat and intelligent, they say, oh, na masunkudine. It's wrong. It's wrong. From the best women in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Aisha. You know how? Her father was rich. And she was the most beloved daughter to her father. So how do you think he would take care of her? Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the kind of girl the Prophet married. Young one, intelligent, from a rich family, when he had the opportunity. What about Khadija? Was he just any girl, the woman on the street? There is no wife of the Prophet. What about Safiya bint Huyay? The one that Aisha radiallahu anha was telling that you. She went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at what Aisha is telling to me. Aisha is telling that I'm Jew. He said, go back and tell her that I am the daughter of my own father. My own uncle is a prophet. My father is a prophet. My husband is a prophet. My father, prophet. My uncle, prophet. My husband, prophet. Me, wife of prophet. Go back and tell her that one. You, your father, not prophet. Your uncle, not prophet. Your husband, not prophet. No problem. One. But those two. I'm just saying, these were the kind of women the prophet married. And where did she come from? Juwairiyah, who was she? Maimuna, who was she? Maimuna was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Go to Makkah and ask who Abu Sufyan was. Huh? Ramla bint Abi Sufyan. Go and ask Ummu Habiba. Go and ask who she was. So the Prophet didn't marry one girl and the street girl and the one they say one and a malam. No, let no malam take that one. But you will be able to only say that when you see you as malam too, that it's not kuja kuja malam. Don't be any kuja kuja malam. Don't be kuja kuja malam. Don't be kuja kuja talib. It's so common now. yesterday I was being told it's a masjid around us, not far away. The imam of the masjid didn't have a car, so the people agreed to buy a car to him. He contributed money, 5 million. One of them said, if we buy this malam, this thing will run, no. He will run away, he will come here again. No. But you drive a car. Very nice car. The imam should not drive a nice car. What if the imam had gotten the car by himself? You know that he will not run away. One of them said, oh no, if we buy this car, it will be like us. So. Yeah, in this Kaduna. So it is how you present yourself, oh, Ikhwan. Don't present yourself just to get cheap. Because what you are with is not cheap. What you are with is not cheap. One of the companions of the Prophet was reading the Quran, and the angel was descending as if it wants to put its heart into the mouth of the companion. You read the hadith? It's from the karamat of the companions. The angel is coming to put his mouth to your mouth, it's a dirty mouth. How is that? Dirty clothes. Well, not well dressed. The environment is dirty. No. So that's not zuhud though. All those things, they are not zuhud. We are in torn clothes. It's not zuhud. Nice neat one. White. If you have the opportunity. The best galadia. Not even the one that are bringing from kind. Why are they calling it Sargaji or what? Eh? No grammar. I see. From the most expensive galadias is kafil or drush. Those are the kind of things you should wear. Even your inner should be drush, up and down. White, neat. So the malams are not cheap. The malams, they should not be cheap in the first place. See, we have opportunity to drive it, drive it. We have opportunity to drive BMW, drive it. The companions had nice rides too. Rabbi Allahu anhum. So there is nothing zuhud is to follow the Allah's messenger. Alayhi salam. Any equivalent of what you can say he used to do like this. Abu Huraira Rabbi Allahu anhu, in that hadith of Jibreel, in his own riwayah in Sunan Abi Dawud, he said when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sat amidst them, it's a difficult point. You'll be asking, where is the Prophet now? Who is the Prophet amongst you? And so we told him, O Messenger of Allah, let us make a height for you where you'll be sitting, and let us make a floor covering. What is it called? This floor covering for you. So you will sit there. When they come, they know that this is the Prophet. And they did that. It was upon that thing, it was in that area that the Prophet was sitting when Jibreel came. So when Jibreel came, this is not a riwayah of Muslim, but it's a riwayah of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. He did not stand directly on top of the food covering, on top of the rug, so to speak. Jibreel did not. He stood at the tip of the rug. So he said to him, Ya Muhammad, pardon? Should I come close? He said, come close. So because what you hear that Hatta Jalasa, this Hatta has cut some things away. It was not that he came and he was climbing the people. No, he was asking, Ya Muhammad, Adi, should I come close? Save me. Should I come close? He said, come close. Should I come close? He said, Hatta Jalasa in the Nabi. Rog, baby, how? Nice place. But anybody who came, you know, this is tough. If not, it is a dirty place. The cloth, white cloth that Jibreel is wearing, will it not be stained? Will it not be stained? If not, is he not the one who told us, Ilbasu means Siyabikum Ilbayab? Wear white. How can we be wearing white when it's dirty? And he'll be telling us, wear white. He knows when we wear white, we'll keep us from death. Is it not so? Naturally, anybody wearing white does not like to stay near dirty things. Our deen is not a dirty religion. We read that hadith, I think next week or so. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. A part of our Islam, part of our iman is to be neat, clean. And when he sent water, he was describing, he said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَاهِرٌ مُتَهِرٌ. So all those things they are doing is not Islam. They should look for what they will attach it to, not Islam. According to the limits of everybody. Last question, inshallah. That question on zuhud annoyed me. Not at the question, but at the way people consider zuhud itself. Allah wala. So many people be thinking that they are doing good, they will get reward on the day of Qiyamah. When they reach on the day of Qiyamah, nothing for them. And they would have punished themselves when they are in the service of God. هُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سَنْ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. She didn't embezzle it. She was a bank chief. Become a Muslim. The government has taken the money already now. Allah has helped her that government has taken the money. It is not her own problem again. Government has taken it. Do you understand? So the matter is between those people and government. For her, put it to government. Government, now you said, that was the reason why they took it. They said it was the money of the depositors and the creditors. It is not her own problem again. So that's why it is easy for her now if she repents. If she did from the nice things, nicest things. In fact, the best thing that would have happened to her in her life is to repent now. I wish this woman will repent. Someone like her become a Muslim, she will be honored in this dunya and akhirah. She will see what her eyes have never seen. Wa alaykum as-salam. Go on, please.
If one could be out of frustration that one cannot secure a job, if you want to, that we've been for a very long time and there's no means of livelihood, and there may be that person now got maybe a bank
job. He didn't get a bank job. That is one. The second thing is that I don't believe, people usually say, but me, I don't believe it. That you look for a job, you didn't see, I don't believe it. I have a friend, when he finished the poly, he had an HND. He didn't get a job. He started selling pure water, Zam water. It is from that pure water he got a house, 3-bedroom flat. He rugged it for 8 bed. I was in university at the time. He rugged it, he married, he get car, he stopped doing it, he employed people. He became director, CEO, pure water factory. But the problem is that the Boko and the way we are taught in the Boko institutions make us feel that we are too big to do something. Make us feel that we are too big. If not, if someone brings the kind of knowledge that he has acquired there with some little things, you see, he will do those things better than the way some people are doing it. But he's already been told that you should be wearing tie. They say it's white collar job. The red collar. He's been given false impression about himself. Arrogance and all of that has been imbued into him. So he will not see those things as jobs. When they tell him, please do the same me, after I attend the kind of mother, if you have a changing course. Me, after BSc, after my MSc, you think I should now be. So what? Heaven will fall because you want to do a job. Or me, after PhD. So you need to traveling all through the world now. I should not come and start doing it if you need to do it. So it means the case of Darura is not established because you do not resort to Darura except there is no alternative. Once there is alternative, whether you like that alternative or you don't like that alternative, you must stick to the alternative. You must not start saying that I'm Darura to be from Mahdura. You don't say that until you can't find alternative. That's when you start saying Darura. And even at that, to come out of recovery, so all these things we are talking, you rent big house, rent buy car, she will not buy cow, you will not buy cow. The one who Darura carries to bank, even when I believe that it's not possible. But Darura, let's say, theoretically, makes him now walk in the bank. He will not drive any car, he will be walking on his feet. He will not eat 3 times a day, he will only eat once a day so that he will not die. Everything you'll be spending from that money will be things that he needs absolutely. But look at them once. It is the ruler, they say, carry them to the banko before enjoying that Darura. They buy a car, buy the boots, buy end of discussion, rent big house. They start looking for what to do with the money. Do you understand, my brother? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Aisha.